God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Pentecostal Church over here on the west side of Manchester. We want to greet every one of you in the precious name of the Lord and remind you that we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 on this radio station. We want to get into the teaching and ministering of God's Word today. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. And now we will go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Therefore, if any man, be in Christ. I like that scripture. Tells us that any man that comes to Christ basically will be changed when Christ is in him. If Christ is in you, see, we've got a generation today that just thinks that all they got to do is just say, I believe, and they're saved. Many of the modern day churches throughout the land are preaching another gospel that simply requires no change for the people of God. But those of us that have been in this a little while knows that if any man be in Christ, and I want to stay right there just for a moment and give us a simple lesson on understanding what does it mean to be in Christ. See, it doesn't matter what type of tag you put on you. It doesn't matter if you're red or yellow, black or white. Nationality does have nothing to do with it. Can I tell you, heaven is going to be made up of a lot of different folks from all kindred, tongues, and nations. And I want to bring this into your understanding today so that you will not be deceived to think that you've got to be a part of a particular religion. Some would say, well, I'm a Catholic or I'm a Presbyterian. We've all heard it. What are you? People want to identify you with what you believe. That's why they say, where do you go to church? You ever been asked that question? Where do you go to church? Who are you affiliated with? See, because once they understand where you go to church, they can determine what you believe and who you believe in and what you're all about. Certain religions are known for certain ways of life. But can I tell you, Jesus Christ is not a religion. Religion will send you to hell. There's a lot of good people that went to church. I'm telling you, you need to understand there's a lot of people in hell today that went to church and paid their tithes. There's a lot of people that say, well, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian. You go right down the line. I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal Holiness, I'm Church of God in Christ, I'm this, I'm that. It doesn't matter what tag we put on us. All that matters is, are you born again? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must, somebody say must, be born again. Jesus was giving this word to a man named Nicodemus, who was a faithful Jew, a man that we would look at in the religious world as having it all together, a man of great power in his religion, the Jews' religion. He was a Pharisee. He was a man that had high, high credibility and respect from the common people of that day. But Jesus came to that man and spoke very simple to him and have given us some of the most powerful scriptures in the Word of God. In John chapter 3, you can read about it. In verse 3, Jesus told this man Nicodemus that came to him at night. He said, Nicodemus, I know you're an educated man. I know you're a man that has achieved a lot in the Jews' religion. But he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus didn't comprehend the simplicity of what he was trying to say. Listen, the gospel is simple, brothers and sisters. It's good news and it's simple. It's not only for the rich, but he made it simple enough for the uneducated man, the poor man that lives in a little stick hut, a man that lives in the jungle. I'm talking about every kindred, every tongue, every nation can understand the gospel of Jesus Christ is not only for the greatest in this world, but it's for the lowest of the low. And that's what I like about our God. He just didn't pick one group of people. He didn't pick just one particular color. He said, for whomsoever will, let him come. I said, we serve a God that loves everybody, and he loved us enough to come down upon this earth and die upon an old rugged cross to shed his blood for me and for you. For there's no greater love than a man can give than he lay down his life for you. Jesus died for all of humanity. Aren't you glad today for that? Nicodemus says, what do I got to go back into my mother's womb a second time? I mean, this is an educated man. But he's speaking about a spiritual principle. See, we try to understand spiritual things with our natural mind. That's what we're dealing with today in the church. We're trying to preach spiritual things to carnal Christians. Folks will look at you like this, and you're trying to preach something out of the Bible. They've been serving God 15, 20 years, and they should already know some of this stuff. Paul told one group of folks, he said, I cannot speak to you about spiritual things because you're still babes, you're still carnal, and you can't understand even the basics. We got to get back to the basics. And that's where God has been leading me. We got to get back to the basics and the simplicity of the gospel. I'm here to tell you today, how can you know that you were born again? How do you know you're born again? How do you know that there's been a change in your life? Just because you prayed a prayer one time in your life as a little boy or a girl, or at some point in time in a church, you prayed with a man and said, Jesus, come into my heart, I believe you, and now I make you my Lord and Savior. Those same folks that pray that prayer and accept Christ in their heart, they leave the church still drinking, still cussing, still fornicating, still sticking needles in their arms, still lying, still cheating, still committing adultery. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, if that's what being born again is, I don't want it. That's religion. That's having a form of godliness, saying, I went to church, I paid my tithes, I sang out of the songbook. I read out of the Bible. I went through the forms. I put on my nice dress. I put on my suit and tie and even sprayed a little nice little perfume and cologne on. And man, I look spiritual. But can I tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't care what we put on, what kind of tag we put on. I don't care if you wear a Calvin Klein suit. I don't care what you're wearing. God doesn't look on the outward. God looks on the heart. And all that matters to God is if you are born again. Can you point back to the time when you were born again? Go back to that day where you know there was a change in you. Something on the inside changed. The things that you once loved, now you hated them. The things you used to do, now you can't get away with doing them no more. You used to watch that violence on the television, but I don't want the violence anymore. I used to, amen, play games that wasted all types of time of my day, but now I just feel like, man, I got to get in my Bible. I can't waste my time with playing games. And all, brothers and sisters, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, I'm going to stop right there at behold. Has there been a change in you? Can I tell you, you can say a prayer, but if there's no change in your heart and in your spirit and you still love the things that the world loves, if you still love the things that you shouldn't love, I can tell you this right now, you are not born again. Well, you just don't know, I'm struggling. Yeah, we struggle. Yes, we stumble, but we don't stay there. I'm amazed at how many people camp out living in sin for weeks and months. We call that backslidden Christian. Somebody that's gotten away from where they need to be and they've gone back to the beggarly elements of their old ways and nature. Well, you just don't know what I'm struggling with. You don't just listen, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the power of the gospel, amen, is real. It comes to make men free. Amen. I believe that yes, we will struggle with sin. We will be tempted with sin. But I believe that if any man be in Christ, we don't purposely go around trying to commit sin with willful acts of transgression. I do not want to trample the precious blood under my feet and allow Jesus to be crucified afresh by me continuing to commit sin and give no reverence, no respect to the blood that he shed upon the cross for me. For if we sin after, how many of us know after we sin, we've got an advocate. And the blood can forgive all manner of sin. And I believe there's some of us probably still struggling with some sin. Paul said, don't let sin have dominion over you. What's controlling you? The Holy Ghost? The Spirit of God in you? Or are you being controlled by your flesh and another spirit? What dominates your life? Do you fulfill the temptations, the lust, and the desires of your flesh just because your flesh wants it? Do you just go get it? There's been times I've been tempted many a times in my life. Can you be honest and say, I've been tempted since I've been born again? We've all been tempted. Whether it's a spirit of anger, whether it's lying, whether it's cheating. That's the old Nathan. He tries to rear his ugly head sometimes. He's supposed to be crucified. He's supposed to be dead. Has anybody just struggled a little bit with that thing called flesh? Tell me that old nature in you doesn't come up. Peter went to cussing when they said, aren't you one of his disciples? Your speech betrays you. The Bible says he went to cursing and getting angry and mad. I'm talking about Peter, the rock, the one that had the revelation. Oh, Christ. Oh, he said, oh, hallelujah. I know that you are the Son of the living God. Jesus said, what? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, Peter. Peter had the revelation, but he still was dealing with Peter. Somebody said, Peter, he was a man of God. Well, theologians would debate that, and I don't have time to get into it, but Jesus said, when thou art converted. Can I tell you, I believe there's a lot of folks in church that really haven't been converted because they're dominated by their flesh. They fulfill their lusts and their desires. And we come into church thinking we can be in the flesh all week. We can watch our televisions for hours on end. We can listen to our headphones and our music and all that ungodly music. And some of us are listening to music and it throws the word God in there and Christian every now and then, but it just feels so good and it sounds so good. Amen. I would hate to know, hallelujah, what some of us are doing at home behind closed doors. I know that we can look like we're in Christ when we come into church. But can I tell you, I can feel the spiritual atmosphere in here on a Sunday morning. And I know when there's only three or four of you that are really coming in prayed up, prayed and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Most of us don't even pray in the morning. Most of all, you don't have to say, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Most of us don't come in ready for a move of God. What most of us are doing is we're consumed with a conscience that's been committing sin all week, that's denying the Spirit that's come to convict us and convince us of our sin. But can I tell you, I want the real thing. I want to be real. I want to be a man. You want to be a woman that's in Christ, where old things are passed away and behold, all things become new. How many want God to do something new in their life? How does God do something new? He makes changes. This is where we quit saying amen. We want the good things that God has in store. We want the prosperity. We want the blessing. We want a greater anointing. We want God to do great things in the church. We want God to do great things in our family. We want God to use us for His glory. Amen. And God says, if you want a promotion, then there's going to have to be a change in you. I didn't say a change in God. I said a change in you. If any man be in Christ, he is a... So in order for him to go from old to new, there had to be a change. And I come to understand this week with some very seasoned men of God as they shared their experiences in their churches, that one of the hardest things to do is to change. Because change brings insecurity. Change means that you're going to have to change some of your ways of doing things. And we're creatures of habit. We don't like changing. Because we've always done it this way. And it works. So if it's not broke, let's just not fix it. The devil is a liar. Because guess what? Some things need to be fixed. Maintenanced. They can run a little better. How many of us know change is necessary in our lives? That's where the real change begins. If you're going to change your church, it first has got to start with you. You want to change your family, it first has got to start with you. You want them to change. You want people to line up. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they're acting like. Look at what they're saying. What we've got. We've got an older generation that has wisdom and they have a love for God and they have experience, but they have no strength. And to be honest with you, they've lost some of their zeal, but that does not put them down. It's just properly judging the matter that they have the wisdom, they have the experience, they have all that they need, amen, that we need as a younger generation. Now you got the younger generation that lacks experience. They lack wisdom, they lack knowledge, but they've got the zeal, they've got the strength, they've got the want to. It's hard to get old folks to change. It's hard to get old folks to want to do something new because they get to get set in their ways. Then it's tough to deal with the younger generation. Who's to teach the younger generation? The older generation. So the fact is, if the older generation's not willing to change, then the younger generation's going to go nowhere. Let me break this down for a moment. Change brings a sense of anxiety to many because it threatens your stability. It threatens what you've always known. And for those of us that are in positions of authority in leadership and in ministry, it threatens our position. I didn't ask for this pastor position. God called me. I wasn't placed here by man. Paul says, neither was I called by man. I didn't have to go to the Jewish councils of Peter and all my Jewish brothers to get permission to go preach to the Gentiles. He says, when I was called from my mother's womb. The hand of the Lord met me on the road to Damascus and he struck me down. And he says, why are you kicking against the pricks? He said, who art thou, Lord? He says, my name is Jesus whom thou persecutest. Guess what he said? He said, I've called you. I've called you, Paul. Now go to the street called Straight. I'm going to send a man of God named Ananias who's going to show you what you need to do. You mean they didn't vote on it? You mean they didn't sit there and, oh, come on. Yeah, he didn't ask anybody for permission. Let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost speaks to the heart of a man and burns within him to do a work for him, you don't need permission from man. All you need is God's authority that he has said, do it. And when you obey God, God will bless you, brothers and sisters. Some of you aren't doing what you should be doing. God's had a calling on your lives, many of you, for a long time, and you've been shunning him. Why? Because you're afraid of true change. Some of us need some true change. And I'm not talking getting a new car and a new suit. Some of you on the inside need a change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It doesn't mean he changed his shoes. It doesn't mean she put on some different high heels. It doesn't mean you got a new suit or a new dress or a new hairdo. I'm talking about this change is being born again in the realm of the Spirit, where old things are passed away. God begins to do a progressive work of bringing you to a greater depth of his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and you begin to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't like true change because change threatens us. Change makes us nervous that we're going to have to do something that we're unfamiliar with. How many have ever taken on a new job? See, we like to stay in secure environments. One of the hardest things for folks to do is change their occupation. It's not easy because there's uncertainty of your future. We like security. We like to know what's going to happen. We want to know our schedule. And all these changes of getting up at a different time and a new schedule to go to work. And it's hard, isn't it, to go from working night shift to day shift. And it took a little while to get your sleep all changed around. You got to deal with other personalities and leadership. And you got to deal with different managers. But I'm telling you, true change won't come from our government. True change won't come with changing a president. True change won't come into your family just because we get a check and a handout from the government and we get all the benefits that they got to offer. But true change comes when we line up our lives with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, if you want real change, it's going to come from the inside when God does a work inside of your life. Can you say amen? As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church over here on the west side of Manchester. My name is Pastor N.R. Davis, and we want to invite any of you that would like to come out and visit us here on the west side of Manchester. We're at 417 Granite Street. And that is in Manchester, New Hampshire, on the west side. We're a multicultural church over here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we would like to invite you to come out and visit us. We start our Sunday services at 11 o'clock. And we also have our Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. You can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. Find out all the information in regards to our ministry here in Manchester. And also our missions work and our different outreaches. We want to invite you once again to go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. We want to remind you that we also have a Facebook. We'd like to invite you to look us up on the Facebook, The Abiding Light Church. Also, you can follow us on Instagram. So we would encourage that. And also, just want to let you know, if you can't make it out to a service, you can go to our website, and we are live streaming our services at 12 o'clock on Sunday and also Wednesday at 7:30. So if you can't make it out to church, that's okay. Go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com and scroll down to the Mixler live stream tab, and you can go into a service and listen to us live on the live stream. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in today. And until next Saturday at 3 o'clock, this is Pastor N.R. Davis, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.
When man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.